last week, I talked about persistent prayer. If you're going to win in persistent prayer, you really need to know about the armor, because you really are at war. So today we want to look at this thought. To defeat the devil, we must take on the full armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." A lot of times we feel like we can accomplish anything through human effort. We cannot. We are in a major spiritual warfare. We need more than human effort. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness." That's one reason when people try to overcome a drug addiction, alcohol addiction, sexual addiction, they have a hard time winning because they are trying to do it with human effort. But our warfare is against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, Paul says, "Take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist or stand your ground in the evil day." How many want to be able to withstand the devil and stand your ground when the devil attacks you? Do you want to stand your ground? Then you got to take on the full armor of God. Well, what is it? You say, saints' main weapons are lies, deception, and condemnation. So we must know the truth. And we have seen all of our children in Sunday school. They have these paper belts, you know, they put on the belt of truth and a paper shield or cardboard shield that represents the best breastplate of righteousness. Are y'all praying yet? Okay. The breastplate of righteousness. Devil, get out of here. Enough is enough. Get out. And then the preparation of the gospel of peace, you know, some kind of gospel shoes, and then the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation, little helmets, and then a sword. And we've all seen that, and it's all wonderful, but we can't miss what it's really talking about. The shield that gird your loins about with truth means you need to know the truth if you're going to win any battles. That's why you need to be in the Word of God, and that's why you need to be in a church like this where the truth of God's Word is preached. When the devil shows up, you need to be able to tell him, "Devil, that's a lie. You're not telling me the truth." Truth. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And Michael Church called this a success seminar, these sermons. And if you practice these sermons, you will have success. Why? Because it's the Word of God. It produces success. I don't have time to quote all the scriptures on that, but the Word of God says it produces success. Truth. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins, your waist with truth." You see, if we're going to live for God and walk in victory, we must know the truth. John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." One of Satan's greatest lies today in America and in our universities is there is no truth. That's the biggest lie the devil ever pulled on anyone. God's word is 100% truth. If you don't believe that, you're going to die in your sins and never know the truth. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 44, "Whenever he," the devil, "speaks a lie," this is Jesus telling on the devil, "he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." He can't tell you the truth. He has to tell you lies. That's who he is. You see, the antidote to Satan's lies is truth, the Word of God. When I was first saved, Satan would tell me, "You're not saved because you do not feel saved all the time." Sometimes you may feel saved, other times you don't. Why? Because there's a devil putting depression on you and oppression in you and distracting you. So you don't always feel it because you're distracted, but you are saved by faith. And then he says, "Well, you do not act saved all the time." Well, that's because I still live in the flesh, and that's because you lying devil keep tempting me and lying to me. But it doesn't matter, because the truth is we live by faith, not by feelings or behavior. You need to know that truth. There's a great truth. We live by faith and not by feelings. It doesn't matter how you feel. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're born again, new creation. Jesus lives in you, and you're on your way to heaven, whether you feel like it or not. Truth. You need to know that. We live by faith and trust God to help us with the feelings and the behavior. I'm not saying you just live any way you want to, but if you're having problems, God will help you sanctify yourself and clean yourself up. Praise the Lord. But you still have to maintain your faith that you're a born-again believer or you'll never get cleaned up. John 16:13, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the one that teaches us the truth, but we need to get into His textbook, the Bible, and He'll use that to teach us the truth because that's where truth is written. If we will pray and meditate on the Word, the Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. All my sermons come from the time I've been praying and fasting and meditating on the Word of God. If we read His Bible, He will show us the truth. John 8:31. If you continue in my word, you got to stay. Folks, you can't ever quit reading God's word, meditating on God's word. If you have a hard time just sitting down reading two or three chapters, get you a promise book. And especially when you face something, get the subject you're facing and read those scriptures, meditate on those scriptures, memorize those scriptures that really speak to you. John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. How can we claim to be a disciple if we do not believe the Word of God? In verse 32, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Who is that promised to? Those who get into the Word of God. And the more trouble you have getting into the Word of God, the more you need to be in a church like this, and the more you need to be here every Sunday morning, every time the door is open. Then when you hear a message that speaks to you, you need to go look it up again on the internet and listen to it again. Why? Because my sermons is nothing but scripture after scripture after scripture, because that's the way God makes me do it. Amen. We must know the truth about salvation. If you don't know the truth about salvation, you're going to spend eternity in lake of fire. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's the truth. That lake of fire is there. That's truth. We must know the truth about salvation. We must know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We must know the truth about praying and fasting. We need to know the truth about healing. Is it God's will to heal or not? We got to quit guessing and know the truth about that subject. And we need to know about heaven. I just mentioned hell. We need to know about these things. We need to know the truth. I feel like God has called me to be a broker of the truth. Speak the truth, preach the truth, because you shall know the truth, and the truth has set you free. It's not some fancy, flary sermon. Oh, you know, this preacher, he preached a beautiful sermon. It was fantastic. Yeah, well, what good did it do? Did you get any scriptures you can stand on for the week? Did you get a word of faith that the Holy Spirit dropped in your heart when you listened to that message? What good did it do? We're not talking about passing out flowers. We're talking about the Word of God. Truth. Can you say amen? It'll change your life. Whether you like it or not, that's the only way you're going to change. And then the second thing is righteousness. It's not a cardboard shield. It's a state of existence. If you're born again, washed in the blood, you are righteous, period. No matter how you feel, and if you don't always act right, you're still righteous in God's eyes. That doesn't mean God's happy with everything you do. He wants to live in you and change you, make you His workmanship and change you from the inside out. That's the only way you're going to really change. You can't change you. I can't change me. Only one I know can change me is God. Even God hadn't been able to change me, but God can. Righteousness. You see, we must know the truth about righteousness. Ephesians chapter 6, you won't get your prayers answered unless you know this part. You got to know you're righteous, or when you start to pray, the devil will tell you you're not worthy. God's not going to answer your prayers. You're not worthy. Look how you talk to your wife. Look how you talk to your husband. Look how you talk to your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister. He starts condemning you. You got to know you're righteous. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Another lie. You're not worthy because you're unrighteous. No, devil, I am righteous. Amen. That's just another one of your lies. Well, you don't always act like it. It doesn't matter. I am. Okay. Lord, help me to act like it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We read that, pray that, and don't believe it. You got to believe that. If you confess your sins, they're over with. Amen. They're blotted out. They're forgiven. You say, well, how do you know that? Let me read it again. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful and just to forgive me when I confess my sins, not only to forgive me, to cleanse me with His blood so I stand righteous before God as if I never sinned one time. Therefore, I'm worthy to get my prayers answered. 2 Corinthians 5:21, y'all like the truth so far? God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us. Well, this is so important. He became sin for me, took all my sins in His body, died in my place that my sins might be blotted out. And when He blotted out my sins, the devil lost all right to me. Because the thing that opens the door to the devil is sin. Once that sin is blotted out, he has no right to touch you. In the Garden of Eden, it was a wonderful, wonderful place until man sinned. When man sinned, it brought in all the curses. It's really consequences for sin. Sin has consequences. But when the sin is blotted out, the consequences can be gotten rid of. Because sin is what leaves the door open for the devil to come in. And that's why it's so important for us to live godly and not sin after we're born again, because it opens the door for bad things. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become, listen, become the righteous of God. When do we become the righteous of God? When we put our faith in Jesus Christ. When we believe Him for soul salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you believe in Him, you become righteous before God like you never, ever sinned. And I just read it to you. That's the truth. Amen. See, for every one of these things, you need to know the truth. You need to know the truth about righteousness. It says, so that you and might become the righteous of God when you put your faith in Jesus. That's what it means. You see, when we accept Jesus by faith, we become the righteous of God. You're looking at a righteous person. You say, well, you don't act like it. Well, neither do you. Not all the time, anyway. Sometimes on Sunday I act pretty good. And the rest of the time, hopefully, I'm living godly. But at the same time, I'm still not perfect. Some of you lousy drivers just drive me crazy. You see, God calls us righteous. And we must tell the devil, I am righteous. Don't argue with him. Well, what about you did the devil, get out of here. I'm not talking to you about that. I've been redeemed. You have no right to touch me. You don't have any right to even talk to me. Get out. You don't have any right to even be telling me anything. I don't listen to you anymore. Y'all pay attention. Amen. I'm just reading the Bible in case you wonder. You are the righteous of God if you put your faith in Christ. God calls us righteous. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Here you go. The accuser of our brethren. It's the devil accusing you all the time. You got to put a stop to him. Condemning you. What's he trying to do? To cause you to give up on yourself. To think I'm a hopeless case. To give up on prayer because I'm just not worthy to get my prayers answered. I pray and God doesn't answer. If you pray the way you're told to do, God will answer your prayers. You are righteous. Your prayers are not hindered because you're not righteous, because you are righteous. And if there is something the Holy Spirit convicts you of, then confess it. And when you confess it, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. Confess it and get it out of the way and then believe God. Revelation 12:10, the accuser of our brethren is cast down. That hadn't happened yet. He's still on the job. He's still accusing. In the end, he'll be cast down. But I'm reading that so you can see who the accuser is. The accuser of our brethren is cast down. He's also the accuser of you, which accused them before our God day and night. He's accusing you day and night. But Jesus, I give you authority over that rascal. that evil spirit. You say his lie is that we're not worthy. The truth is we're righteous, therefore worthy. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Not only am I righteous, Christ lives in me, making me his workmanship, trying to change me from the inside out when I cooperate by praying and fasting and meditating on his word. Amen. Amen. Jesus lives in us, and we live by faith in him, not by feelings or circumstances. Look at that again. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's the only way you can live as a Christian. There's no other way to live. It has to be by faith in the Son of God and in every word he has given us through his Bible. Then number three, preparation. People get all twisted on this, and a lot of preachers get it wrong. But have you got a preacher that gets it right? The emphasis here is not your feet. The emphasis here is preparation. You're preparing for war. You got to have your feet ready to charge. Can you say amen? If you're playing football, you put on cleats. Can you say amen so you don't slip and slide? So you got to be prepared with the gospel. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The armor here is the preparation of the gospel of peace. You prepare yourself through praying and fasting and meditating on the word. That's where your faith comes from. And then when I'm fasting and praying and meditating on the word and I build my faith, then I can use that faith as a shield. But I got to do the preparation to get the faith. So I just don't have faith to believe God for this. Well, then get in the word of God and get you some faith. A lot of times when I have a challenge, I don't have any faith at all, but I hit my knees or I get in my prayer closet. I like to pray, stand up, walking around so I don't get sleepy. Okay, but no matter what position I'm in, I pray through. Can you say amen until I get that peace, that knows of revelation, that peace, that knows of revelation, that assurance in me is faith, and then I stand on that. Amen. That's the way you do it. Ephesians chapter, boy, I wish I had somebody to preach this to me when I was 15, 16 years old. It would have changed my world. I had to figure it all out over the years. Ephesians 6, 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, how do we prepare ourselves to be victorious? By doing the word of God. Another lie, everything is fixed and you cannot change anything by prayer and fasting. That comes straight out of the pits of hell. You can change anything and everything by prayer and fasting because God has ordained praying and fasting. It's Jesus who said, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. Everyone asks and keeps on asking receives. Barry Coverson didn't say that. That's a quote from Jesus Christ. If I keep on praying, I can see a difference in my life. I can see a difference in my family. I can see a difference in my city, my county, my state, my nation, my world. But it takes persistent prayers, we saw last week. But when you're praying, you need to know the truth. You need to know you're righteous. And you need to know that in praying and fasting and meditating on the word, you're preparing yourself so you'll have faith for tomorrow. Amen. Finally got an amen from about 10 people. Wow. Man, that has to be a record. Mark 9:28. And when he was coming into the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said to them, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. The devil has his people always trying to kill our faith. Well, that word fasting is not in the best manuscripts. Well, in this passage here, the word prayer is there. And the New Testament church, they fasted, they prayed with fasting. It was a thing they did every week. They fasted 2 days a week. And so it's foolish to think they didn't pray without fasting because they did pray with fasting. And so the word prayer is there. And he's telling disciples, you didn't have authority over the devil because you don't have a good prayer life. If you want authority over the devil, you got to spend some time in praying and meditating on the word of God and build your faith so when the devil shows up, you'll whack him with your Holy Spirit sword, which is the word that God has put in your heart. When you whack him with the word of God, he's got to go. He can't stand up to the word of God. It's a sword. But how many Christians know that? They have a problem, get a bad report, say, oh my God, I guess I'm going to die. Well, if it's God's will for you to die, it's your time, then you're going to go. Nobody can stop it. You can't stop it. But if it's not God's will for you to go, then get in the prayer closet and get healed. Get delivered. Amen. But there is a time appointed a man wants to die. If you're praying for someone and they go to heaven, praise God, they went to heaven. Amen. And ask God to heal the broken hearts. But everybody's going to die. But until it's my time, I intend to walk on demons and devils because I have that authority. Amen. How about you? Amen. Or when you're going to just lay down and die, I'm not. God's going to have to take me out. Amen. But by prayer and fasting, and of course we know it was with fasting. That's the way they lived it. Jesus fasted 40 days himself. If he needed to fast 40 days, Barry Coverson needs to fast 40 days. He is telling his disciples that they were not properly prepared to defeat the demon. A part of the whole armor is preparation. This is why we must pray. This is why we must stay prayed up, fasted up, churched up, read up, fired up. Can you say amen? We must be prepared to be victorious. Truth, faith, wisdom, revelation, and victory come through prayer and meditation on the word. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. All the word of God is profitable. When I read the Bible and I just get sleepy and all, listen, that should prove to you right there, the devil doesn't want you reading the Bible. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Once again, if you're not a good reader and you have a little trouble reading, read what you can, but get you a promise book that lists all the scriptures according to your needs. Verse 17, so that the man of God, the word of God is profitable, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. If you're going to be adequate and equipped to live a victorious life, you've got to be in the word of God. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. And all scripture there includes the Old Testament and the New Testament. We don't keep the legalism of the Old Testament, but we can receive all the promises and the benefits if we'll meet the conditions. You see, if we're going to be prepared or equipped for victory, we must study and do the word. This is where faith, wisdom, and direction come from. The word of God, us praying over it. In James chapter 1, verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. What does it say? Jesus said, when you give and when you pray and when you fast. The word of God says, when you go to church, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It says, meditate upon the word of God day and night. That's the do's. We need to do the do's. And when we hear that do the do's, we think, don't do this and don't do that, don't do the other. No, if you do the do's, you do the praying and the fasting and meditating on God's word, being a good church, the don'ts would take care of themselves. Amen. Do the do's. Be a doer of the word. That's the way you get prepared for victory, is doing the word. If you want to be blessed financially, you're going to have to be a giver, whether you like it or not. Well, that preacher's trying to get my money. Well, do you want to be blessed or not? Then you need to quit believing every crazy thing the devil puts in your head. Amen. A preacher that's truly preaching the word of God don't care about your money. Amen. He cares about you making money so you'll be blessed. Don and I started this church. God took care of us without anybody. And so that's all I need is Jesus. I don't need your money, except you need to obey God in your giving, because that's the way God ordained it. Can you say amen? But that's between you and God. Amen. But a part of being blessed is when you give and when you pray, when you fast. Jesus said that. Amen. Not Billy Graham, not Oral Roberts, okay. not Adrian Rogers. Verse 25, it says, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. A lot of times we know we're supposed to pray, but we just don't do it. You got to make yourself do it, because we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We got principalities and powers fighting us over prayer. We have to fight back. Amen. Devil, I'm going to pray. Amen. If I have to get up in the middle of the night, and to pray, I will, and I do about every night. I normally get up in the middle of the night. I wake up in the middle of the night. I just tell the devil, if you're going to wake me up, then I'm going to make you pay. So I get up and pray an hour in the middle of the night. About an hour, about every time. Don't mess with me, devil. I'll put the hurt on you with the word of God. Pray. And I have at least 100 scriptures memorized in order. And I can pray through those 100 scriptures in about 2 or 3 hours. And boy, it builds my faith like nothing you've ever seen. But you don't walk in faith by being lazy. You got to be a doer of the word. Now, I don't make it sound too hard, but at the same time, you got to do your part. Be a doer of the word. Matter of fact, it becomes fun. It becomes fun when the devil shows up and you beat him to death with the scripture and chase him off. I won again. But he never quits coming back. He doesn't retire, doesn't take a vacation. Be prayed up, fasted up, meditated up, churched up when Satan shows up. Be ready when he shows up. And then faith. If you're not doing the other, you're probably not going to have the faith. But you take that faith, that gnosis revelation, that assurance, that peace that God's dropped in your heart. And when the devil comes to agitate your peace, you take a stand on your promises and on the word that God has given you. Faith. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Another lie. This time you're not going to make it. This giant is too big. This sickness is too hard. Sometimes the word is cancer and it just brings fear and we just give up. You see, this is when we grab our shield of faith and believe our rhema word. No matter what's happening, we do not give up. We stand in faith on the words we have received during those time of preparation, during the times we were in church, and God spoke a scripture to our heart through the preaching. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is not grit in your teeth. Faith is a substance and evidence in you. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance, an evidence, a no-so assurance, a no-so revelation that we have already won in here. The fiery darts of doubt will not do harm when we stand on a no-so promise. You see, you take up the shield of faith, and that means we focus on the rhema word we have received. When the devil was trying to make me sick a couple of weeks ago, I stood on my scriptures, Matthew 8:16-17, and Isaiah 53, with his stripes I'm healed. I stood on those scriptures for hours and days until I won. Can you say amen? On Saturday night, I was pretty sick, having a hard time even talking. I got down and I did exactly what I'm telling you to do, and I prayed through until I got healed. Showed up Sunday week ago and did a great job, I thought, with my voice. God used my voice. Everything went good. But I knew I wouldn't have been doing it if it hadn't been for this message I'm preaching to you. Amen. Persistent prayer. I knew it was God's will for me to preach. He gave me a sermon. There's no doubt what his will was. I just had to get the devil off my throat. No man will be able to stand before you. And by the way, no demon either. Hebrews 10:35. So do not throw away your confidence. And that's what the devil's trying to do when he tells you're not worthy, that you'll throw away your confidence in prayer and just give up and go away because you're not worthy. Don't listen to that liar. So do not, and boy, he don't like this message, but it's okay, devil. Get out of here. You have no authority over any of us. Hebrews 10:35, do not throw away your confidence or your faith. It will be richly rewarded. Your faith will be richly rewarded if you don't throw it away. Stand no matter how bad it looks, no matter how ugly the giant. Verse 36. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. We must hold on to our shield of faith when things look bad. That's when you need faith. You see, Satan sends symptoms and circumstances and fiery darts to cause us to doubt. Doubt caused Peter to sink. When he started looking, he had a word from the Lord, come. The Lord said, come. And so he walked out on the water and he did great till he started looking at the circumstances, and then he began to sink. Doubt caused him to sink. Doubt can cause you and me to sink too. We've got to believe what? Believe that word, that evidence, that rhema word, that substance, that evidence that the Holy Spirit's put in us, that we have victory, that we have healing, that we have salvation, that we have the infilling power of the Holy Spirit, that we have authority over demons and devils. You got to get that in you and believe it and act like you believe. Do not doubt your rhema word, that substance, that evidence. Stand on it. With his stripes I'm healed. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph, which always causes me to win. Amen. Romans 4:20. No unbelief or distrust made him, Abraham, waver or downly question concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Instead of letting fear conquer you, begin to praise God, worship God. Look, no unbelief or distrust, no spirit of unbelief or distrust made Abraham waver or downly question the promise God had given him. Abraham wasn't just believing anything. He had a promise. Get you a promise. And I believe that God's given you a promise today from one of these scriptures, and when it makes sense to you and it clicks to you, grab it and write down the scripture and go home and memorize it. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, Abraham waver down a question concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. Are you fully satisfied and assured that God is able to keep his word and to do what he's promised to you? Be like Abraham, refuse to doubt God's promise. The helmet of salvation, what in the world is that? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. This is another lie. The giant is too big and powerful. You cannot win this time. Just give up. No, the giant, the devil is not too big. He's not too powerful. He's been defeated. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in the humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. The devil's power over you has been destroyed because Jesus Christ took your sins in his body and died in your place, blotted out your sins, and when he did that, you've been redeemed from Satan. He no longer has a legal right to touch you. You're not his property anymore. When Jesus blotted out our sins, he redeemed us from the old slave master. We no longer belong to Satan, but to Jesus Christ. We now have authority to rule and reign in life. We have power and authority over everything and everyone the devil has. You may want to go back, look that sermon up, and listen to it again on ruling and reigning. In each of these last four or five sermons, I think it'd be good to listen to them over and over, because it's just scripture about things that apply to where you are right now in life. There's no problem too big for the Lord if you believe God and build your faith. 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? You need to know the Creator God lives in you right now. There's great power in you that you can't even imagine how great it is. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Verse 20, you were bought at a price. You've been bought and paid for. Tell the devil, I'm not your property. Get your hands off of me. Well, you've seen it work, me standing right here in the pulpit. I'm trying to take my voice and all kind of things. You know? And I'm not just putting on a show. I'm taking authority over the devil and getting rid of him. I think God allows it to happen so you can see. You can do the same thing. You stop him. Amen. And I do admit I have a lot more faith when I'm on the anointing standing here. On Monday and Tuesday, sometimes it's not quite as easy. But I got to go back and get these sermons and re-preach them to myself. You see, we have been bought and paid for, so the old slave master has no legal right to harm us. He may attack us, but he can't do us permanent damage if we know who we are. We now have authority over Satan. And do you think Jesus was joking when he said, I give you authority to tread upon demons and devils and over all the power? Was he joking, or did he mean it? If he meant it, then let's act like it. Amen. Let's take a stand on it. Take that authority. We must use our authority. Drive the devil out. We now have authority over Satan and his demons, but we must use it. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Read the curses of the law in Deuteronomy 27:28. You'll find out it's mostly sickness. We've been redeemed from that. Jesus has redeemed us from the curses because our sins have been blotted out. I tell Satan, I have been redeemed. Here's the way I say it and the way I think you need to say it. Listen, devil, I've been redeemed from sin, sickness, disease, failure, poverty, inferiority. Now get out. Been in a poor country, boy. You know, and not being able to participate in any sports or anything, so I was kind of left out of everything, and I had this terrible spirit of inferiority. And I finally realized one day, this came from the devil. I'm not inferior to anybody or anything as long as I'm full of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen? I have been redeemed from strep throat. I've been redeemed from rosacea. I had it really bad. God healed me, redeemed me from it. In 2011, how long has that been? 14, 15 years ago, the coronavirus tried to come on me, and I defeated that thing. You're not putting that on me, you lying devil. And then shingles. I had a little bit of shingles. I rebuked that thing, and it left. Can you say amen? I'm not allowing any of these things to come back on me. Get under my feet and stay there. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I am redeemed. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17. It's not a cardboard sword, folks. It's the real, it's the only way to really put the devil to running. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I just can't read it. I get sleepy, and I just have a hard time reading. Well, like I said, read what you can, then get your promise book, because the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The only way you're going to win is with the Word of God. Another lie, what you say is not important. What you say can destroy you. If you go around saying, well, I'm sick, I just feel bad. You know, I'm just a failure, just a loser. Look in the mirror and slap yourself. Stop that. Amen. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have success. We read that and miss the most important part. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, you got to keep the word coming out of your mouth. Why? Because it's a sword. That word is a sword. And buddy, when you start speaking the word, demons start scatting in every direction, because they can't stand against that. According to all that is written therein, for then you'll make your way prosperous. When you begin to speak the word of God every day instead of your fears and doubt, you start having more prosperity in your life. Keep the word coming out of your mouth. Matthew 4:10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Jesus defeated the devil himself, the Son of God, by telling the devil it is written. He gave him three scriptures at the end. It is written, it is written, it is written. Then he said, begone, devil, and the devil left. You see, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, he quoted scripture three times saying it is written. Then begone, devil, and the devil left. We must do the same thing. Satan, it is written. Listen, with his stripes we are healed. With his stripes I am healed. Isaiah 53:5. The Lord is the strength of my life. You hear me, devil? I'm not weak. I'm not tired and fatigued. The Lord is the strength of my life. I may be right now, but the Lord is the strength of my life. I can still do anything he wants me to do. Psalm 27:1. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. But I believe that I can do anything God calls me to do. Then no matter what, the devil tells me sometimes we're getting too old. Watch me, devil, I'm not too old. I'm not going to get too old either. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Moses, 120 years old, his eye was not dim, there's natural forces abating. But I'm not quite 110 yet, just 111. Just had a birthday. Ephesians 4:13. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. What am I giving you? I'm giving you my sword. God gave me that word when I first started the church. Some real mean-looking people showed up. I went down the mountains and said, oh, God, who are these people? And he said, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. No man will be able to hinder you all the days of your life. And I don't care how mean and ugly they look, God always gives me victory and authority over every demonized person. And he's got the same in store for you. I'm not preaching this to brag on how great I live it. I come up short. Some of you probably already live it better than me, but at the same time, it works if you'll practice it and put it to work. No man will be able to stand before me all the days of my life. This is how we win. It is written, speak the word, not the circumstances. Then it ends with prayer. Prayer is where all our battles are won. Where were you saved? In prayer. Where were you delivered? In prayer. Where were you healed? In prayer. Where were you spirit filled? In prayer. Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And you're a saint, pray for you, pray for all. And then all the other scriptures on praying for everything. You see, the Lord said to me, you do not have a problem that cannot be fixed in prayer. So here's what I believe. You take on the whole armor of God. You make sure that you know that you've got the truth about healing and whatever you need. You know you're righteous. You prepare yourself and build your faith from the Word of God. And then you stand in faith when the devil shows up. Then you tell the devil, I've been redeemed from sin, sickness, disease, and everything you have. And devil, it is written, with his stripes I'm healed. Now get out of here, lest I'll stand.